Got a lot of stuff to give you. Top 10 signs that you are broke. Number 10, American Express calls and says, leave home without it, okay? Number 9, you're formulating a plan to rob the food bank. It's a sign that you're broke right now. Number 8, long distance companies don't call you to switch. Number 7, you rob Peter and then you rob Paul. Number 6, you finally clean your house, hoping to find some change. Number 5, you think a lottery ticket as an investment. Number 4, your baloney doesn't have a first name. Number 3, you start washing the styrofoam plates. Number 2, McDonald's supplies you with all the kitchen condiments you need, the ketchup and the mustard and all that. And number 1, at communion, you go back for seconds. Okay. These are signs that you might be broke. Well, today we're talking about money. We've been in Proverbs. We started Proverbs, and Proverbs talks about a lot of different things. And in a big category is money. Money is more than just coins and currency. All too often, it's the means by which people rate their personal success, and it frequently is a source of tremendous conflict between husbands and wives. 51% of all divorces occur over financial tension. I read this. I thought this was helpful here. 7 money personalities. I don't have this up here, so just see if you know. Identify which one is this. Which one are you? The hoarder? Are you the hoarder? Money gives you security. Are you the spender? Money gives you reward. Are you the avoider? Money and bills stress you out. Are you the hater? Money is evil and dangerous. The manipulator, money buys you influence and control. The show-off, money gives you status through your possessions. I mean, right there, can you identify with any of these? I mean, because if you're one and your spouse is another one, that could be a problem right there. And there's one more category, the giver. Money is how you show God and you show others love. So different money personalities, that could be part of the conflict in a marriage. You're one and your spouse is another. So there's the issue there. Money's mentioned in almost nearly every chapter in the book of Proverbs. And money's actually a big topic throughout the Bible. 15% of what Jesus talked about, the parables, he used money in the parables to make a point. That Jesus knew that there is a fundamental connection between our spiritual lives and our money. And I think it'd be important that we recognize that. If we're serious about our walk with God, that's going to be reflected in how we handle our money. Jesus says in Luke chapter 16, if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? Worldly wealth and true riches, those are two different things. There's true riches and there's worldly wealth. And we need to recognize that. So money is covered extensively throughout the Bible. But today I just want to focus on what Proverbs says. And let me begin with this here to point out this. Wealth can be a good thing according to Proverbs. Let me show you a couple here. Proverbs 14 verse 24. The wealth of the wise is their crown, but the folly of fools yields folly. In Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. In Proverbs 10, verse 22, it says, the blessings of the Lord brings wealth. You see that? The blessings of the Lord brings wealth. Do you struggle with wealth? Do you think, wealth is evil? We're Christians, we're not supposed to be wealthy. Is that a problem? And I'm just showing you these verses that say, there shouldn't be this guilt. If it's a blessing from God, embrace it, enjoy it, bless others with it, be a blessing. The Bible talks about leaving an inheritance for your children. It says in Proverbs 13, verse 22, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children. Physical wealth can be a blessing from God. It's not always a blessing from God, and that's another thing we need to identify here. But it can be a blessing from God. But I go back to Proverbs 14, verse 24. The wealth of the wise is their crown, but the folly of fools yields folly. And I'd like to point out a few ways that fools try to build wealth. I got five ways here. One is through credit. Kind of curious if anybody falls into this trap here, that you're surviving basically because of your credit card. It says in Proverbs 22, verse 7, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a servant to the lender. The borrower is a servant to the lender. You know, the two sacred words in America, charge it. Okay, that's a problem right there. This is foolish. Why is it foolish? Because it makes you a borrower to the lender. The lender owns you. The lender controls you. You can't freely serve God because you're serving Visa. You know, your master is MasterCard. It's in the name right there. That should tell you something right there. 75% of Americans are three paychecks away from bankruptcy. When Michael Jackson died, he owed $400 million. Michael Jackson, I mean, you would think this guy would be loaded, but no, he was in debt, $400 million. Why? Why? It's because he didn't know how to live within his means. And a lesson that we need to learn, if we're going to honor God, if we're going to be the people that God has called us to be, we need to practice good stewardship skills. And part of that, we need to discipline ourselves to plan and to save and to learn within our means. If we did that, that would just take care of so many things. But credit cards make it so tempting not to do that, not to plan, not to save. And the end result is we become servants to the lender, a slave to the lender, enslaved, not free. Christ died to make us free. And his word tells us how we can be free in so many ways, free financially. So here, ignorance and lack of discipline and easy credit, all that equals disaster. You probably heard this before. The problem is that too many people are spending money that they haven't yet earned for things they don't need to impress people they don't like. You know, that's the American way right there. All right, enough about credit. What about we try to build wealth through haste? Through haste. It says in Proverbs 21, verse 5, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. And I got three thoughts here on haste. One is impulse spending. You know, we want it now, we buy it, we can't wait, we're not planning, we're not saving, we're not thinking about it. It often leads to what buyer's remorse. We buy into these get-rich-quick schemes. Listen to a couple of these Proverbs. Proverbs 13, verse 11, wealth from get-quick-rich schemes quickly disappear. Wealth from hard work grows over time. That's what the New Living Translation says. It says it right there, get rich schemes. And how many people you buy into that? You know, you hear something, somebody says, oh, I made $100,000 in a week. You know, and how do you do that? You know, they don't, they're lying. But we buy into it because we're not listening to the word of God. Proverbs 28, verse 20, the trustworthy person will get a rich reward, but a person who wants quick riches will get into trouble. And everybody's chasing quick riches. Proverbs 28, verse 22, greedy people try to get rich quick, but they don't realize they're headed for poverty. This is the lottery. What I read here, the studies reveal the average lottery or sweepstake winner is flat broke within 3 years of their windfall. Flat broke after, why? Because they take it for granted. It wasn't earned. There is no discipline. There is no plan. And they're broke and they're devastated. And everybody's scratching their head. How did that happen? And it happens so often. And Proverbs warns about this. Proverbs says that's what's going to happen. Money doesn't talk. It just quietly slips away with no forwarding address. And it leaves you asking, where did it go? Where did it go? Don't do credit. I don't want to say don't do credit. Credit's not always a bad thing. Credit, it can be a necessary thing, but you have to be disciplined with it. You have to be careful with it. In haste, don't buy into these quick, rich schemes. Yeah, don't do it, all right? Just don't do it. And another thing Proverbs addresses is overworking. How many of you, you're workaholics? You're working all the time, you know, 7 days a week, 28 hours a day, whatever, you know? And why are people overworking? Why is this seen as a good thing? The reason people do this, they're chasing money. And I just want to ask you, are you chasing money? And why are you chasing money? Could it be because our hopes are in money? You're not chasing money, you're chasing what money can buy. And what is that? What we're hoping this money will achieve for us is peace and happiness and contentment. Proverbs 23, verse 4 says, do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Well, think about that. If you're a workaholic, if you're a lazy person, don't worry about this one. But if you're a workaholic, you need to put this one on your refrigerator. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. What that means, you need to take a Sabbath. You need to take time to prioritize what's important in your life. Because so many people, they chase the money, and they lose what? They lose their family. They lose their health. They lose. And where did it get you? And why? Because you put your hope in money instead of where your hope should have been. The Bible tells us to work hard. We should work hard, but not to overwork. Our culture will cheer you on if you're a workaholic. But we need to understand, God doesn't. God doesn't cheer you on. Let me give you a couple more. One here, through deceit. If you're trying to gain wealth through deceit, or corruption, or cheating, listen to what Proverbs says about that. Proverbs 13, verse 11. Dishonest money dwindles away. You gain money, but what? You lose your integrity. And I would tell you, your integrity is where your peace and your contentment and your joy, that's the root to a lot of that. But if you trade in your integrity for money, you don't get what you want the money for. You lose it. Proverbs 11, verse 18, the wicked man earns deceptive wages, but he who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. Proverbs 20, verse 23, in the Message, God hates cheating in the marketplace. Rigged scales are an outrage. Do you see that? I want you to see that. We need, as Christian people, God hates cheating in the marketplace. You see it all the time. Don't be a part of it. Don't buy into it. Don't accept it. It's not right. It's wrong. It's wrong in God's eyes. It should be wrong in our eyes. Proverbs 16, verse 8, it says, better to have a little with godliness than to be rich and dishonest. So are you earning money? Are you making money in a deceptive way, in a dishonest way, in a way that will not bring the blessings of God? I just think you need to recognize that. If you're doing that, you got to repent. Change your ways and do what God has asked you to do. One more is through exploitation. It says in Proverbs 14, verse 31, he who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors the Lord. He who oppresses the poor, right there. In Proverbs 11, verse 26, people curse the man who hoards gain, but blessing crowns him who is willing to sell. This tells me right here, this is not the same as dishonest gain. This is ruthless gain. There's a difference between being dishonest and being ruthless. This is talking, don't be ruthless. When it talks about hoarding gain, withholding food to hike up prices, you know, price gouging, that's what this is addressing here. Like gas stations do that during a storm, or this is what the movie theater does all the time. You know, M&Ms cost you $25, you know, what is that? Bruce Waukee, he's got commentary on Proverbs. He says, to understand the book of Proverbs, you need to understand something pretty radical. Every time you see the word righteous in relation to money, what it means is those who value community as the bottom line as well as profit, they are willing to forego greater profit for themselves for the common good. They're thinking about their fellow man. It's love your neighbor. Then you can dangerously think, oh, is this communism? No, communism is you're being forced to do this. But what this a righteous person should have a heart, because your community, building community, making a stronger community, is that not what gives us joy and peace and contentment? But if you trade that in, you don't care about the community. You only care about profit. Then it's going to rob you of the. He says here. He says a righteous business is one that does not have merely profit as the bottom line. The righteous understand how to use their money for community, not just for themselves. So they make and they spend money to build community. Community is more valuable than money. The unrighteous, all they care about is money. If you build wealth by exploiting others, the end result is everybody's going to hate you. God will curse you, and your insides will rot. Self-hatred, no peace, no joy. And often, I would tell you, I go back, this is what the lottery does. The lottery preys on poor people. It's bad for the community because it exploits the poor. The people who can afford it the least are the ones who are buying the lottery tickets. And people say, well, that's not my problem. And that's the problem. Because we don't care about fellow man. Could that be one of the things that's destroying our nation right there? There's a reason most people fall into one of these traps. There's a reason that people can't say no to credit. There's a reason why you're tempted to cheat now and then. There's a reason why you fall for these get-quick-rich schemes. And the reason is because in your heart, you believe money is what solves all your problems. You believe money is what's going to give you happiness and joy and peace and contentment and security and significance. Money is your God. And the problem with that is that's idolatry. And if that's you, you need to repent. Proverbs 11, verse 28, whoever trusts in his riches will be ruined. Put that one on your refrigerator. And ask yourself, is that what you're doing? Are you putting your trust in your money? Are you putting your trust in your riches? Job says this so clearly. This is in the Living Bible. If I have put my trust in money, if my happiness depends on wealth, it would mean that I have denied my God in heaven. Is that you? And I say all that to say there's a better way. You will always be a fool. You will always act foolishly. You will never change your behavior until you change your heart, until you change your perspective and you recognize that money is a false god, until you find security in God alone. You find your significance in God. You are a child of God. You've been made in God's image. That's where our significance comes from. That's where our joy comes from. That's where our peace comes from. And so let me ask you, or let me emphasize a couple of things. How do we build wealth in a way that is pleasing to God, a way that is biblical, a way that God would honor? First of all, I would ask you, we need to redefine wealth. Now go back to Luke 16, verse 11. I read this already. If you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? True riches is not money. True riches is this happiness, this peace, this contentment. Let me ask you this. Who is wealthier? A man with $6 million or a man with six children? Okay? And I would tell you the man with six children is wealthier because he doesn't want any more. Okay? See how that works? Money is just a means to the end. There is a better way to that end. Stop chasing money. Start chasing God. Do the opposite of what fools do. You got the list on one side of your outline. You look at that. Well, a couple things to point out here. You live within your means, not on credit. Don't become a slave to the lender. I think I said this earlier. There is a place for credit cards. We have credit cards. We pay them off every month. You need to use them wisely. I read this. A recent Census Bureau study found that almost 3 million American families with incomes above $68,000, the wealthiest fifth of the nation, and let me highlight that, the wealthiest fifth of the nation. If this is you, if you're 68,000 or around 68,000, more than 68,000, you are in the wealthiest fifth of the nation. And yet, you know, we're always complaining. I don't have enough money. Well, this is the trouble. These people, 3 million Americans, over $68,000, have trouble paying off basic necessities such as their mortgage and their food and their utilities. The richest people in the world can't pay their bills. Why is that? Why is it? Because they have not learned how to live within their income. They're not living within their income. So, first of all, live within your means. Secondly, work hard, but don't overwork. Know when to stop working. Don't be lazy. It says in Proverbs 14, verse 23, work brings profit. Work brings profit. You need to see that. Mere talk leads to poverty. It says in Proverbs 13, verse 11, I don't have this one up here, wealth from hard work grows over time. Wealth from hard work grows over time. So the Bible honors work. We are created to work. The first command in the Bible, God told Adam to work the garden. We're made in God's image, and God is a worker. We are created to work. But don't overwork. Don't be lazy. And don't put your hope in the lottery right there. So live within your means. Work hard. Number three, be a person of integrity. Don't be dishonest. Proverbs 28, verse 20, a trustworthy person gets a rich reward. The godly are directed by honesty is what it says in Proverbs 11, verse 5. Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good reputation and respect are worth much more than silver and gold. Are you a person of integrity? Are you wanting to be a person of integrity? Chase that instead of chasing money. And number four, save and plan. Don't spend as soon as you get. It says in Proverbs 21, verse 20, in the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has. You know, the wise man is storing up what he needs. In Proverbs 6, it says, you know, consider the ant, you sluggard. It stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. The ant knows how to store things. Why do Americans don't know how to do that? Americans don't know how to save. They don't know how to plan. Stop impulse spending. Once again, Proverbs 21, verse 20 in the New Living Translation, the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. In the New Century Version, same verse, it says, wise people's houses are full of the best foods and olive oil, but fools waste everything they have. Fools waste everything. Fools spend on whatever they want. In Proverbs 21, 20, in the this is a Good News Bible, stupid people spend their money as fast as they get it. That's like right in your face, right? That's why I put it up there. Don't let this be you. Don't be the foolish person. Don't be what this is called, the stupid person. So stop impulse spending. Stop acting like the government, all right? Financial freedom is not determined by how much you make. It's determined by how you spend it. If you don't have a plan, your yearning will always exceed your earning. You will always be in debt. No matter how much money you make, your expenses always rise with your income. They always do. There are people who can't live on $150,000 a year because their yearnings exceed their earnings. They're never satisfied. They're never content. This world tells us financial happiness comes by the stuff that we have. The Bible tells us the key to happiness is being content with what you have, being satisfied. So let me get number five here. Be generous. Be generous, don't hoard. Oh, and there's so many Proverbs on being generous. And one that really stands out to me, Proverbs 11, verse 24. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Does that make sense? One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. The person who withholds comes to poverty, but the person who's giving freely is the person who gains more. It says in verse 25, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Does any of that make sense? I read that. That doesn't make sense. And the verse I began this week with, and I haven't even got to it yet, in Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And here's the issue. Are you trusting the Lord? Or are you trusting your money? You're doing it your way. You're doing what makes sense to you. And God says, I'm not going to bless that. Do you have a problem trusting God, trusting the word of God, the plan of God, what God has said we need to do? Are we doing that? So we need to learn to be generous to God. We need to be generous to others. We need to be generous to the poor. I've got so many verses on that. Proverbs 14, 31. He who oppresses the poor shows contempt for his maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors the Lord. It says in Proverbs 19, verse 17, if you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and he will repay you. In Proverbs 22, verse 9, blessed are those who are generous because they feed the poor. Proverbs 28, verse 27, whoever gives to the poor will lack nothing, but those who close their eyes to poverty will be cursed. Proverbs 21, verse 13, those who shut their ears to the cries of the poor will be ignored in their own time of need. So many verses. And the one I really want to get to, I've got a little bit of time left. One I really want to get to here is how to build wealth God's way is by honoring the Lord with your wealth. Go back to Proverbs 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth. The first fruit of your crops. What's that mean? That's talking about the first part, not the leftovers. That's the American way. If anybody gives to God, they give what's ever left at the end of the week. No, we're supposed to give the first. The first 10% is the principle that we live by here. And notice what happens when we do that. What the Proverbs says, then your barns will be filled to overflowing. And your vats will brim over with new wine. That's what the Word of God says. If you honor the Lord with your wealth, that's what's going to happen. Do you trust God? Okay, so let me go off on something here. Harrison Butker. Okay, should practice that one. Football player, Kansas Chiefs, kicker. He's been in the news for the past 2 weeks. And I know a lot of you don't care, but I've been eaten up with this. So I had to work it in the sermon somehow. So here he made a commencement speech, and I listened to the speech. Beautiful speech. And he has been raked through the coals because why? Do you know the story? Because he praised his wife, a stay-at-home mom, homemaker, mother. That's really why the world has shown so much hate to this guy. And so I'm like on Facebook thinking of how to respond, and the Holy Spirit says, stop it, knock it off, don't do that. So I've saved my response for right now, okay? And my response is, I have a great wife, all right? I have a wonderful wife, a homemaker, mother of six, and just a couple notes here, valedictorian of her class, and not from like a small school, but from New Albany. You know what valedictorian means? Valedictorian means smartest person in the class, according to the government, if that means anything. But pretty smart. She married me, okay? Went to college for 6 years. I just like to point that out. Went to college for 6 years. Majored in math and science and education. I think minoring in science. And I remember us in, I think, this is how I remember it. We were in the IUS parking lot, and we were engaged, and she's telling me she's going to be a stay-at-home mom. Or that's a deal breaker, you know, or else we're not getting married. And I remember crying because I knew I wanted to be a preacher, but I didn't want to be poor. So this is a problem for me, you know, like, so, and I want to tell you a little bit of our story that for 1 year out of our marriage, I worked full-time and she worked full-time. 1 year. And she was a teacher and I'm a youth and worship minister. She's making, I'll tell you the numbers here. I think, as I remember it, she was making $35,000 a year full-time. That's what teachers made back in those days. And I, full-time youth and worship minister, full-time, making $21,000. And she gets pregnant with Jordan, and she quits. $21,000, full-time. We were poor. I can't stress how poor we were. Simon didn't know what a Happy Meal was until he was 15, okay? And that's only because somebody else bought it for him. You know, it wasn't going to happen from us. Me and Stephanie, this is what I wanted to get to. Me and Stephanie have always been committed to honoring the Lord with our wealth. And it was hard, but this is what the Bible says. And this is what we were taught to do. And we did it. With the first part of our paycheck goes to God, no question. And we learned the principle, which is a really cool thing, that God can make our 90% left over go further than what we can make 100% go. You know, if I kept the whole 100% for myself, I'm going to have a flat tire, the transmission is going to go out, the house is going to burn down, something. But if I give 10% to the Lord protected us, the Lord protected us. And I'm here to say today, I'm a very rich man. I have 4 cars, and 2 of them work. It's not because, I mean, the church has been good to us, all right? The church has been good to us. Pretty much medium salary, you know, what everybody else makes. It's not because the church has, you know, I'm not a TV evangelist, okay? That's not how it happened. It's not because the church, you know, just put all this wealth on us. We didn't win the lottery. I'm not a lucky man. I'm a blessed man. I've been faithful to God, and God has been faithful to me. I honored the Lord with my wealth. 10% on 21,000, raising a family. And somehow, my barns became filled. I can't explain it. I mean, my only explanation is we put the Lord first. And I just feel like I want to say it in such a way that we don't come across arrogant or, you know, full of ourselves, not in a way that makes anybody feel guilty. But people need to understand this. This is Malachi 2:10. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you the blessings until there's no more need. God says, put me to the test. See if I won't pour blessing after blessing after blessing on you. I read this. A Navajo Indian complained, the missionaries did not teach us to tithe because they thought we were too poor. They didn't know we were poor because they never taught us how to tithe. Do you trust the Lord? I mean, it comes down to faith. We're Christians. We live by faith. We should live by faith here. Or else, if we don't, do we really have faith? Do we really have faith? If you trust God, you don't have to ask, how much should I give? The question becomes, how can I give more? If you truly trust God, it's no longer an obligation. It's an opportunity. An opportunity to bless others, an opportunity to invest in the kingdom of God, an opportunity to lay treasures up in heaven. In Haggai, it says, this is what it says in Haggai 1. Now, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planned much, but you've harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you're not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what happens. If you don't put God first, your purse is going to have holes in it. Your wallet is going to have holes in it. Your roof is going to have holes in it. We've had our share of problems, but God takes care of us, and we keep trusting God. Tithing helps us prioritize what's important to life. Here's the principle. Whatever you want God to bless in your life, you put him first in it. You want God to bless your relationships, then put him first in your relationships. You want him to bless your time, then put him first with your time. You want him to bless your money, then you put him first with your money. Put God first. I say all this good stewardship is hard. It requires discipline, and it requires trust. You got to trust the Lord. But I tell you, if you do this, it's very rewarding. Very, very rewarding. And I challenge you today to do this. I've got another top 10 list here, top 10 reasons to honor the Lord with your wealth. Number one, it's a tried and proven pattern of giving by godly people throughout the ages. This is for 2,000 years, 4,000 years. This is what people of God have done. Number two, it will help you revere God more in your life. Number three, it will bring God's wisdom and order to your finances. Number four, it will serve as a practical reminder that God is the owner of everything you have. We're just stewards. We just manage. It's all blessings from God. Number five, it will allow you to experience God's creative care and provisions in ways you would not otherwise have experienced. And that is so true for me and Stephanie. We've learned God's creative care. It's awesome to watch how God blesses us in ways that don't make sense. And we got story after story about that. Number six, it will encourage your spiritual growth and trust in God. Number seven, it will ensure you of treasure in heaven. Number eight, it will strengthen the ministry and outreach and stability of the local church. I think it's so important. I hope you agree with me. That's so important. It will advance the gospel. Is that not our calling as Christians? And is that not what the world needs? And it's not going to happen if we're not disciplined with our money. And number 10, it will help provide the means to keep your pastor and missionaries in full-time Christian service. And by the way, we just hired Evan on staff here at this church. So I want y'all to know that. It's just another thing I want to throw in. This is how we take care of the staff, you know, Simon and Evan and Patty and Stephanie Marsh. And this is how we send missionaries out. And we're sending Atticus out and Atticus and Olivia out this week, Thursday. They're leaving. A lot of that is because the church has been generous. We've got a lot of good people here who live by these principles. If you're not one of those people, I just want to encourage you. Let me throw this in here. I'm not preaching this. I'm preaching this on Memorial Day, typically when the church has least amount of people. I hardly ever talk about money. If you're new to our church, I hardly ever talk about money, don't I? Yet, if I don't talk about it, then I'm robbing you of these biblical principles that will bless you and help you. I'm not preaching any of this to raise money for the church. Our church is fine. We're doing great. It's not about raising money for the church. It's about raising people to be godly people. This is how God raises his children to serve him. These are the instructions from God. And we are people who live by faith. At least that's what we say. We live by faith. Let me close by just asking you, are you living by faith? Are you living by faith? Are you doing it God's way?